This third Sunday of Lent, we have some pretty spectacular readings. That gospel was fairly long. We're ramping up for Passion Sunday. I remember as a kid knowing that it was Passion Sunday when we had this 15-minute long gospel and just waiting until it would be over. But this Sunday, we have this incredible encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And there's something quietly extraordinary about this. The fact that one of Jesus's greatest, deepest theological discourses was given in the midday heat at a well when he was tired to a Samaritan woman. And we see that Jesus is waiting for her. There is a phrase just before this gospel in John that says, "And he had to go through Samaria." In truth, he didn't. GPS would have taken him on a different route. He didn't have to go through Samaria. But he wanted to go through Samaria. He wanted to be at this well on this day, at this time, to meet that woman. And Jesus also does the same for us. He wants to meet us where we're at. He knows where our wells at midday in the sun are. He wants to meet those in those places that we go carrying the weight of our lives. This woman was there at midday under the sun because she was too ashamed to go at another time. Because she was the talk of the town. As we'll find out later, she had 5 husbands, and the one she has now is not her husband. She was the one that all the gossip was about. She was going out there, and Jesus had to go through Samaria. He wanted to be there with her. And we see the approach of Jesus. This is our first point this evening. Jesus reaches out to her and says, "Give me a drink." Totally breaking with all protocol. First, because he was a Jew and she was a Samaritan. And second, because he was a man and she was a woman. At this time, they would not have been able to speak on either one of those accounts, and much less both of them. Jesus reaches out to her and asks her for something. And in a certain sense, every truly spiritual encounter with the Lord starts with him making himself small. Him almost needing us. Not in an absolute way, but in this small way. He wants our help. He reaches out to us because he knows that if he came in his full power, like we sometimes want, how often do we want God just to appear in our prayer with a blaze of glory and lights and something that would be totally, totally blow us away, that there wouldn't be any room for doubt anymore? And yet if that happened, we would be trembling. But so often he comes as he came to the Samaritan woman, asking for something, a simple drink of water, preferring to enter into our hearts through these soft touches, through this invitation, knowing full well that oftentimes our pride, our vanity, so many other things would block us. So he comes in the back door and says, "Can you give me a drink?" In the second point, we see the response of the Samaritan woman. And she responds very pragmatically. "Sir, I see that you have no bucket. The well is deep. How are you going to get water?" And I was like, "Well, lady, I'm asking you for water. Can you give me some water?" But there's something deeper here too. And keep an eye on the bucket. We're going to see what's going to happen to this bucket. But the Samaritan woman, and I think this represents the same for us, what Jesus says, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give will never thirst." She had a bucket because she had to come there every day to refill her water. And I think oftentimes There are buckets that we have in our lives. Those places that we go to when we're not filled with living water. These buckets that are empty, our coping mechanisms, our addictions, our phones. So many different things that we turn to that we have to go and fill up over and over and over again. And we realize that they never truly quench our thirst. The Samaritan woman had been thirsty her entire life. Don't we recognize ourselves in her? That we keep going back to these wells, and oftentimes they're dry wells. Wells that don't even satisfy our thirst, even for a moment. Yet we keep going back over and over again. Our hearts are restless, as St. Augustine said. Our hearts are restless until they rest in the Lord. And in the third point, Jesus goes straight to the heart. And he says to her, go call your husband. And Jesus, he's so amazing. With such gentleness, but goes straight to the heart of this thing. Where had she been going so often to try and fill her bucket? Looking for human loves. And I don't know if this is heresy to quote this, but the gospel according to Chosen, for those that have seen the series Chosen, we're seeing, Jesus goes through and there's kind of some backstory to this, which isn't in the gospels, granted, but it's very interesting. And you start to see the woundedness that comes out of this. Because he's saying to her, you know, you've had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. And the way that Jesus speaks truth into her heart and confronts her with the truth, instead of causing her to reject him and to run away, she leans into it. She stays. She's allowing herself to be seen by him whose gaze, perhaps for the first time in a long time, she's experiencing, as it's not a gaze that's shaming her, and it's not a gaze that's accusing her. It's a gaze that's speaking the truth into those wounds, recognizing that her sins, the places that she goes to fill herself that are not the Lord, have been hurting her as well. He doesn't condemn her. He's asking to restore her. Nor is he condoning her and saying, yeah, go ahead, keep doing it, get five more. He's speaking the truth into her heart. With such truth, such power, such gentleness, that's the way that God speaks to us. That's the way that Jesus treats us, with this tremendous respect. And she's able to come to him, and we're able to go to him as well, without the edited version. How many times we live our lives with permanent Instagram or TikTok filters on ourselves, showing everybody around us our masks, the beautiful parts of us, and trying to hide the depths of what we're afraid of, what we're ashamed of, what we need. And sometimes in society, we need to do that, going around spouting off all of our sins all over the place. But before God, we should allow ourselves to have those masks removed so that he can look at us and we can look at him. What have we been hiding? What are we hiding from? Why would we hide from so much mercy and so much grace? Bring that to the Lord. And finally, tying this in with especially the second reading, we could go on a lot more connecting in Moses and all these beautiful theological things that are going on here, but we don't have all evening. But this love of God that's poured out into our hearts, what St. Paul expresses in the second reading, and that poured out shows the measure of God's grace. It's not rationed out. It's not 3/4 of a cup of God's grace. It's grace that's poured out, that fills up. And this woman who brought her broken life to the Lord, who brought this little bucket, Jesus, throughout this conversation, as he does in all the conversations that we see throughout the gospel, is filling people up. He's setting their hearts on fire. He's giving them motives to turn back to the Lord. and she allows her heart to be filled. And you know what happens? This is our final point in the conclusion. She left her water jar. Go back to the gospel. She left the water jar and runs back to town. The water jar that she had was now too small to carry that love of God that had been poured into her heart. And she left Jesus there thirsty. Poor guy, this whole discourse, it's midday, he's hot, he's tired, he just wanted a glass of water. He had to go through this whole discourse, and she drops the bucket and runs off. But the final part, what he says to the disciples when they come back, the disciples are like, Lord, they're like looking at him like, what's going on here? This is not normal. And they're bringing back food, and they're like chomping down their Subway sandwiches and walking back. They're like, hey, Lord, have a sandwich. He's like, I have food. This is my Father's will. His heart was set on fire by this encounter with her. How powerful that is to realize that every time we allow ourselves to be encountered by the Lord, not only is our heart filled with the Holy Spirit that is poured into us, but His heart is set on fire. He wants this encounter more than she does. He wants to encounter each one of us seated here this evening more than we can ever imagine. That is the Christ that we follow. That is the Jesus that we are continuing to follow, to walk along in our Lenten journey, to go up to Jerusalem with, to accompany Him in His passion, to accompany Him in His resurrection.